Good morning, everyone. Sully County Board of County Commissioners meeting will now come to order. Anyone has any cell phones or any other audible devices, silence them now as not to disrupt the rest of the meeting. We'd appreciate that. And if you'd stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, this moves us up to item number three, which is discussion of possible action approval of the agenda for February the 20th, 2018. Do we have any changes we need to make to today's agenda? I believe we have one that I know of so far. We're going to go ahead and, in the interest of time, move item We're going to move item number 18, and we'll move that right after the consent agenda, which is number 5, so we'll move it between number 5 and number 6. Any other changes we need to make today? Okay. Any public comment regarding today's agenda? All right, not hearing any, if I can go ahead and get a motion to approve today's agenda.
I'll make a motion to approve today's agenda for February 20th, 2018. Noted that we will move item 18 to follow item number 5.
Very good. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Move a second to approve today's agenda with the change made. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 4. This is discussion of possible action, approval of the minutes for January the 2nd, 2018. Commissioners, have any comments on the minutes? Hearing none, any public comment regarding the approval of the minutes for January the 2nd? I'm going to go ahead and get a motion to approve the minutes of January the 2nd.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of January 2nd, 2018.
Second your motion.
Okay. Motion and second to approve the minutes. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 5. This is the consent agenda. Commissioners, have any questions regarding today's consent agenda? Any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Hearing none, if I get a motion to approve today's consent agenda.
I'll make a motion to approve today's consent agenda.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Moved and second to approve today's consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Move along now to item number 18. This is discussion of possible action. Approval of the revised county manager's job description. Mr. Morris.
Robert Morris for the record. We're here on the county manager's job description. It's had quite a bit of work done to it, and I think we're getting towards the end. When we were last together on this, there was discussion about the performance evaluation, and I made changes to the text. If you look on the first page of the second job description, which shows the changes that we made. If you look at item number 3, I added a section evaluation of job performance. And after the discussion that we had, I inserted that the job evaluation would be done at the first quarter of the calendar year, and then had the board may consider an increase in salary, including a merit increase consistent with the amount given unclassified personnel, and a possible performance based bonus. So that leaves it in. As we discussed, it would probably be best to have a policy in place if we're going to do that. and describe the process of how to calculate that. I also added a section for the HR director, and the HR director would be responsible for placing the review on the board's agenda. I realize there's some sort of we need to make clear who gets to trigger the performance review. I'm sure the board can request it, but if the board doesn't request it, it would be up to the HR director to schedule it. And this may take a little bit of preparation, and so I've put in that the director is responsible for placing the review on the board's agenda, providing any required legal notice, and providing material, including salary comparisons and any material requested by the board that they would want for such an evaluation. So I think that covers what we discussed last time, and if there's any comments, I have to say after the last meeting I received quite a few comments, and I was impressed how everybody was interested in what you had in front of you. So if you have any questions, I'd be glad to talk about it.
I don't. I appreciate all the work you put into this, Bob. I think this spells it out a little bit more detail, and the past has never really been brought to this board's attention that this is something that we should have been doing all along.
Right.
And now that it's been brought to our attention, it is something that we will do on an annual basis. So it's good that you have the HR director in charge of going ahead and placing this, having this placed on the agenda, because it wouldn't be appropriate, since the county manager oversees the agenda, for the county manager
right.
to go ahead and place in something, an agendized item that references himself,
right.
because he needs to be given notice as well. So that's good. So,
are there other commissioners comments on Bob's on Bob's work here?
Well, and just I had a talk with Mr. Whitten this morning, and talking about this in particular, and asked what, you know, if he had any thoughts about it, and he felt it was good to go. He
okay.
Good, said it was a good job.
So I want to talk a little bit about the policies that we had that we were looking at in conjunction with this. The policies were basically ones that the county manager was responsible for. One was the how to set up the meeting and the agenda items for the board. The other one that we looked at was the contracts, how to get approval of contracts. And in talking with Mr. Whitten, he asked that we could keep the agenda packet one for when he's actually present and can be here. So I decided that I would just continue the rest of the policies to the next meeting. And so I don't want you to think that they've gone away. They're just coming back at the next meeting. And then one final thing, in the discussions that I've had, there were two minor changes that I wanted to make, and I can give you copies. I know the board doesn't like having last-minute
no.
changes. But there's just one minor style change. If you look at page 2, if you look at page 2, subsection E, what I've added is text. And so there was a concern about the county budget and the comptroller being involved. And so what I've done is I've added a clause in E, and I'll just read the whole clause. It says, oversee the development of the annual county budget. And the added text is in conjunction with the comptroller for approval by the board. And then monitor expenditures to ensure compliance with budgets, account for variances between projected and actual expenditures, and initiate remedial action and report significant variances to the board. So all that in discussions, I think several people mentioned how they thought the comptroller should be involved in the budget process. He actually is, the comptroller is involved pretty heavily in the budget. And so this just sort of recognizes that fact, that that's the way we do it. And I think it's important to put clear authority in here that the comptroller does participate actively in the budget. I would point out that there is a policy. It's number 40, and that's the annual departmental budget request. And so that's one of the policy issues that the county manager basically has responsibility for. And so I'm going to bring back that policy when we bring the policies for the county manager to make sure that that has consistent language, that policy has consistent language with what we're doing in the job description. And so there was one other change that I made. If you look, I took a bunch of S's off the verbs there. And after discussion with the district attorney, I agreed that it was better grammar. What we're talking about is job duties. And so job duties don't assist. Job duties assist. And so I've just changed yeses off the end. And again, it's just a small style change. So the only change that I'm really concerned about is adding the comptroller as part of the budget process. There was one other one. I wasn't sure exactly the weight limit on working environment, or I think the light lifting up to 50 pounds. There were several different considerations, and I ended up just leaving it the way it is. If anybody wants to talk about that, we can do that as well.
You know, I just lifted a 50-pound sack of bird seed this weekend, and I didn't like it. My back didn't like it. Austin and I had talked about this earlier this morning, and you know that could be a reason for termination if they couldn't lift a 50-pound bag of bird seed. So I think it's a little heavy for that position who would rarely lift 50 pounds of anything.
I don't think it would come up very often myself.
Yeah. I don't know if we want to change that or leave it or.
Well, I like it. I think it's pretty consistent with what the job description is almost throughout the county. Is that right?
25 pounds is the industry standard for a position like this. It's the weight of a ream of paper. I did some research into this. I do appreciate Bob's. Most of the comments or concerns and anything he's integrated in here and done a very nice job. It would be my recommendation that we make it 25 pounds, and that's what the other administrative type positions are.
My thought was on the in the event that we have a disaster of some type, where all hands are on deck, county manager is going to be there along with your emergency management director, or public works, and everybody else that we can round up. And people are going to be picking up sandbags and moving barriers and things like that. So that's why I think it should stay in myself. Because if you go from 50 to 25 and someone's not capable of handling that within the event of an emergency, I think it poses a problem for everybody.
But thoughts from the other commissioners?
There we go, Mark.
I'm comfortable with the 50-pound limit.
And so to set this up, what I would ask is that you approve the job description that I handed out to the board with the two minor changes that we've talked about. That's the style changes of taking out the S's and adding the comptroller to be part of the budget process. And I've given a clean copy to the clerk so that could be signed. And so it's up to the board as to how you want to proceed.
Okay.
Well, your change was to add...
It's the subsection E.
Yeah, subsection E. Oversees the development of the annual account in conjunction with the comptroller. However, on the front page of the job summary, you say in financial planning and preparation of the budget. So basically, he still oversees the budget.
I believe that the ultimate responsibility is the county manager.
Right.
But the comptroller, I think, has the ability to do most of the work that's required for the budget. And so that's why I'm saying I think it's important to work on this policy number 40, which details exactly how it's done. And that's going to be coming back next meeting. I think the language on the first paragraph is activity areas that are going to be measured for achievement. And so I wanted to use broad language there to allow the board to have pretty broad purview over what was going to happen. And then specifically in subsection E, that's a job duty that the county manager would have, and in that job duty, there's discussion of how the comptroller works with him on the budget.
I like the addition of that because the comptroller does have an integral part in the budget. So.
Yeah, I'm just looking for clarity there.
And I'm happy to explain it.
Do you have any questions, Les?
No questions.
Why don't we open up for public comment? Any public comment on this issue? All right. Then I think I know you'd like to make a change, but I'm going to ask that we go ahead and for a motion to approve it as written by Mr. Morrison.
I'll move to approve the county manager's job description revised February 20th, 2018.
I'll second your motion.
Been moved and second to approve. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Great.
Thank you,
Mr. Morris. All right, next up on our agenda today is item number 6. This is discussion only. We'll take no action or public comment. These are committee and staff reports. Representative of the Sheriff's Office today is Tony Dosen. Director of IT, James Dean?
No, I think our staff
person is here. Okay, you get next. Okay. We have our flood damage project coordinator, Mike Northam.
Morning, Commissioners. Mike Northam for the record. Quick update today on the flood damage work. Starting out with the courthouse and really all sites. All of the estimates for all the sites have now been submitted to the insurance company, and I do have an email into the adjuster to see if I can get an ETA on approval. All of the other sites were sort of tied into the courthouse estimate just because they were using the same subcontractors for each little portion of the work at various sites and here. With the courthouse being a bit over budget, the insurance company had requested a line item breakdown of their cost estimate. That's kind of what was, had been holding up the show, so that has now been submitted. I am in contact with Belfour's foreman to finalize a schedule for all sites. Once the approval breaks loose, we'll be able to proceed in a planned manner. Next item, courthouse roof. Weather has obviously delayed work on the courthouse roof here. We've had a couple of snow events that, while they weren't great, does make the roof a bit dangerous to be on. The general contractor, Sierra Builders, has completed the chimneys, the snow splitters, and the crickets. You'll notice the catwalk has been removed and the roofers are set up and ready to rock. Sierra Builders and their roofing subcontractor, Peterson Dean, had a meeting today to discuss some technical hurdles and how best to get forward and how soon we can get guys back on the roof. So I will find out the results of that meeting later today. Last item was at Station 72. Belfour has started mold remediation efforts at Station 72 out in the Highlands. Started that yesterday. I'll be out there today to check on them. So I'll take any questions.
Looking good.
Okay, great. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you, Mike.
Director of Security, Melanie Keener.
Nothing today, thank you.
The Director of the Story County Senior Center, Stacey Hubert.
Thank you, and Stacey Gilbert for the record. We received last week a Hot Shot Meals on Wheels truck donated from Douglas County. Not a lot of miles. It's in good shape. It's at Fleet Services right now getting the whole overview, and hopefully within the next couple weeks we'll be up and running. We also have been working with Mr. McGuffey and Chris Thompson. We now have a partnership, Community Chest and myself, with Thrive Market. We received our first pallet. We have a lot of brand new stuff. Lots of organic, gluten-free, more stuff to offer the community, including Lockwood. We'll take it out to Lockwood, Mark Twain. Community Chest is going to take it out to their locations as well. And we had a fiscal audit last week through Aging and Disability, where we received grant funding. We are now low risk. We've been high risk to medium risk for a year and a half. So we're getting there.
And congratulations with that.
Yeah. Thanks. Any questions? So I'm fighting the flu, so forgive me.
We'll stay over there.
Yeah, well, 2 weeks, we're good.
Okay, great.
Thank you, Stacey.
Thank you, Stacey.
Great, good news.
All right. Community Chest in the library, Eric Shump.
No, we're
nothing big. All righty, great. We have our recorder in attendance today, Ms. Chapman.
Nothing right now, thank you.
Very good, all right. Director of the VCTC, Danny Dotson.
Good morning, Commissioners. I'm Danny Dotson, Tourism Director. A couple things for you. Here in the next couple of weeks, we'll get to unveil a new website for both the Virginia City Tourism Commission and for Pipers. We've got some professional photography integrated in that that will add to specifically the branding campaign that we're on for Pipers. We're going to have some real consistent stuff there, kind of start that process before we work into a marketing plan for next fiscal year. But there'll be some pretty neat looking visuals once we unveil those in the next 2 weeks. Had a little bit of an event change on the calendar. We reached an agreement, a verbal agreement, with the Flying U Rodeo. We know we were kind of in negotiations with them. Unfortunately, we do need to change the date. The date now will be August 18th and 19th. But with that comes quite a bit of a change. We're going to see for the very first time in Virginia City, well, maybe at least in the last 20 years, an actual Texas Longhorn cattle drive through the middle of town. And then we're going to have a mutton busting tournament. Not just a one-time deal, but it'll be an actual tournament for kids to do to compete for a gold buckle for the Virginia City Championship, if you will, or the Nevada Championship for mutton busting. So we're going to invest in that on that Saturday. Then Sunday we'll be highly focused on the Hispanic. It'll be a Fiesta del Charro type of event that will focus on that different demographic. So we're looking forward to that change. Through an interview panel, we also selected our new special events coordinator, director of Pipers, if you will, be Whitney Brunson. Whitney has worked for me at the Visitor Center for the last 2 years. She has an extensive background, including a degree in event planning. She's personally done over close to 100 weddings. She lives here in town. She knows history of Virginia City, loves to dress up, and we're looking forward to that transition.
Who's this?
Whitney Brunson, who works for us in the Visitor Center. Yeah, so very excited about that to announce, and she'll be taking over that probably next week. So we'll be advertising for a spot open in the Visitor Center at behind the counter.
Good.
Yeah. And then finally, just a V&T news, just kind of chugging along there a little bit. We're putting things together, working on a master schedule with Tom Gray, looking to make a few changes to help save some costs, if you will, to balance the budget on that, which we're working on right now. We'll present that hopefully in March. We still have an extensive search looking for a V&T conductor, if you will, a person that faces the business to run that for us. So those RFPs close next week, and we'll start the interview process. So that's all I have. Any questions?
Questions for Dave?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Thank you, Dave.
You got a lot on your plate.
Yeah. Fire Department, Chief Nevin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All righty. Also with the Fire Department, Fire Marshal Martin Esbito.
Good morning. This is Martin Azevedo, County Fire Marshal. On the issue of the interlocal agreement with the State Fire Marshal's Office, I'd like to ask for a continuance on the next agenda item. I found some issues on here that wasn't caught, so I'd like to re-present it.
Okay.
Is that it?
Just continue.
When we get to that, when we get to that item.
Yeah.
Do that.
Oh,
you're fine.
Oh, okay.
You're
then
fine.
I have nothing. Sorry.
That's all right.
I don't know. It's the interlocal.
Oh, okay.
All righty. Over to the Comptroller's Office, Mr. Gallagher.
Nothing against that, Mr. Chair.
Director of Public Works and Planning and Human Resources. Austin Osborne.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll just start with our LP insurance with our enrollment period that we're in between now and April 30th. We are in that enrollment period. We're in the negotiations right now using our health benefits broker, LP Insurance, and Kevin Monahan and his team. And all of the things I've talked about still exist. We're in an upside-down situation, as we know, with our health experience rating, but it is likely we're going to be able to do some negotiating back and forth with Hometown Health and or potentially other carriers and to get the proposed rate significantly lower than what's being proposed now. Regardless of what we have going on over the last year and a little bit the year before, we have a long history before that of a good enrollment situation. We probably know based on the data that we have where our benchmarks are going to be over the next period of time. And, of course, our carrier does as well if they're doing their job, and believe me, they are, that we will be able to negotiate fairly and come up with something. We don't know what that is at this point because it's a bit early. So that is good news, or at least positive news for the future. We are working with LP Insurance on a lot of other things. They provide us Affordable Care Act compliance review. They've gone through our policies, make some adjustments, as you've seen in this board, to make sure we're compliant with all of those matters. They reviewed our collective bargaining agreements to make sure they're compliant with the health benefits portions for the ACA. They've gone through and they provide us quarterly data review where we look at all the specific numbers that translate into what is going to happen at this time of the year with our health benefits ratio and where we're going and how we plan for the next year period of time for our health benefits and for other benefits as well that relate to health. And the best thing about them in this whole process, their 24/7 accessibility. Kevin himself will answer his phone on Saturday and Sunday night. He'll meet on the weekend. His team will meet over the weekends in order to be prepared for a Monday type of thing that's being presented. They've just been fabulous to work with. They're a great team. So that's all I have on the health benefits, just giving an idea where we are. For the zip code and the landfill, Dan Maurer from our Porter Group in Washington asked me that I read the statement. It kind of gives you an update of where we are with that. It says the landfill, complete with language and updated maps, has been sent to staff for Senator Heller, Senator Cortez Masto, and Congressman Amade. We've spoken with all three offices, and none of them see any real problems in getting this moving in the near future. We're now going to work and get getting both the House and the Senate versions introduced at this time, likely in 2 weeks, since Congress is on recess this week, of course. Regarding the postal bill, we're attaching the Story County language to the Story County lands bill. It's going to be offered as an amendment to Congressman Amade in an upcoming energy bill. No timeline for that bill to come in to the floor yet, though, parentheses, and it has been passed by the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee and the Postal Service Reform Act. We'll continue to look for every available avenue. So Porter's team has just been really great working with us and trying to get these two bills moving forward. It's just the situation in Washington right now is very difficult to get anything passed. Title 17 update. As you were brought to aware at the last meeting, there's potentially some issues with the adult use language and the definitions of Title 17. That language is already posted to be corrected. It's aligned with the NRS. Essentially, just use the NRS language to define adult uses. Planning Commission will hear it on March 15, and then it should be to this board by March 20th. And then last but not least, very good news came in on Friday that AT&T has informed us, called me, and their board has approved funding to locate approximately 12 antennas for AT&T on the monopine out in the Highlands. That very, very likely is now going to move forward. The AT&T group is certainly, they're just working with the guy that owns the monopine to make sure all their lease agreements and all that stuff are in place and straightened out. So we should see some action on that in the next season. And then he said at this time it's very preliminary, but the AT&T board did approve funding in their budget for AT&T to locate here in Virginia City. They will need a new tower, so they'll be working with the planning group on a tower. The historic district will go through that process and some other mechanical stuff. But Virginia City is very likely to happen, and the Highlands is almost certain to happen. Thank you.
Okay. That's great. Thank you. Any questions for Austin?
All righty. Chief Deputy District Attorney Keith Willis.
Thank you.
All right. D.A. Langer.
Nothing today, Mr. Chairman.
Very good. County Clerk, Ms. Stevens. Nothing today? All right. That concludes the committee and staff reports. We'll move along now to item number 7. This is board comments. We'll take no action or public comment. Start down here. Commissioner Gilman?
No comment. Thank you, sir.
All right. Commissioner McGuffey?
Okay. Well, the reports from the community chest, the senior center, and then the monopine kind of answered all of my bullet points. The only thing left was the Fourth Ward School did receive their wishing well.
Thank you, sir.
And it's pretty interesting to watch the coins. It's like you feel like you're 6 years old again. You drop a coin in there and watch it spin around. It's pretty fun. So when you know, get time, take a roll of quarters with you and go to the Fourth Ward School.
Right.
Thank you.
That's great. Thanks, Jack. All I have is to say that the celebration of President's birthday in Virginia City this weekend was over the top. I mean, the weather got a little bit iffy on Sunday, but the amount of people that were in Virginia City, tourism-wise, was incredible. It was like a summer day out there. Of course, the weather was pretty promising on Saturday. So, all those who were able to come up here, they enjoyed a great time. I met a lot of people from all over the world this weekend. It was incredible, from France and Italy and the Netherlands and. Even with some folks that I knew from Boston who made their way out for the ski season. So it was a good time. Moving along now to item number 9, discussion of possible action, review of the second quarter 2018 unaudited budget to actual. Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Gallagher, would you hold on for one second, please?
Yeah.
I inadvertently skipped item number 8.
Okay.
This is discussion only. We'll take no action. This is an update regarding the implementation of Tyler Technologies ERP systems. Mr. Dean, you have the floor for this. Thank you.
Slideshow for you. One moment here. For the record, Jen Chapman, James Dean, reporting on the ERP system implementation.
Will the microphone pick that up? She's down with the
electronic. There we go.
This should be. So this is just a really quick little presentation about essentially what we're doing within the county for some of the various offices. Try this again. There we go. So this is obviously the company that we contracted with. Just kind of a brief little history of them. They've been around since 1966. Really 1990s, they went more for local government solutions, local government schools, and started pushing the others. They kind of bought out a lot of different companies in 1998. They are a very powerful software provider for local governments. Washoe County has had them for almost 30 years. They've been contracted, especially even the recorder's office has been contracted with them for over 30 years. And you can see some of the things that they provide. And this is part of the reason why we, you know, wanted to go with this system, because it has such a broad application throughout the county. It's got a 97% client retention rate, and obviously that's due to what they provide. And one of the other things that makes them so powerful is that they have perpetual upgrades. So if somebody is upgraded in one way, it goes to everyone. This is what we pay for. And we kind of already know a lot of this, is that, you know, we're replacing current software. We're trying to work out a plan of how these programs are going to work with not just our offices, like the comptrollers or recorders or clerks, but how they are integrated with the other software solutions within the county, just to really try to streamline the processes that we have. We are in an age of technology. We should be able to leverage that, even though we're a small county. Everybody is kind of working on this. It's not just us. It's all the departments, and everybody will be affected by this in one way or another as we move forward. Current status, you know, it's kind of, it varies depending on what part of the project we're looking at. Up at the top there, you see our kind of little flow chart there of the overall real basic progress and how we're moving forward. We've already gone through the initiation and planning stage. We've assessed and defined.
We built and validated information on the clerk recorder side. Right now, we're doing some final testing. We're doing a user acceptance testing right now. I'm kind of getting into the system and seeing if I can break it. And this is where we really test out the whole business process of what we do in the recorder's office, you know, recording, scanning, indexing, verification, redaction, receiving, all this fun stuff. And then a portion of what the clerk's office does as far as marriages. And the new marriage portal is really going to be super. It's going to make things fast, easy, and really accurate. So that's going to be exciting. Issue tracking, with a project like this, we have some big technological changes. It's not just, you know, the software. It's hardware. It's our system itself. I'll let you talk a little bit more about that.
So the county has already purchased all the hardware required to complete this project in total. The fiber that's been moved to the courthouse will serve this county probably for the next 50 years or more. So we're ready as far as the changes that are going to be required and that are coming. We have some more backup solutions that we need to implement, but with the timelines that we're looking at, we've made some pretty rapid progress. I don't see any large holdups. All the stuff that we've run into as far as technological challenges have been fairly easy to resolve. Mark Carter at ADS has been extremely helpful with the technology challenges because he's kind of one of the only people left on the planet that knows what's going on the older systems. So he's been pretty gracious with his time. And I know he's short on staff, but he's been very responsive to us. Jen's kind of grabbed the wheel here and is just kind of driving me around on what she needs. We've been doing data polls with genealogy and the all kinds of different databases, and I'm just kind of at her disposal, and whenever she needs me, she calls, and we go. So not seeing any challenges that we can't meet. The Active Directory rollout to all the departments should be happening in the next 3 to 4 weeks, and I think we're ready.
All right. Good deal.
I call a lot. Right now, we pretty much have, our project objectives. Some of these have been met. Some of these we will continue to work on. You know, best business practices. It's kind of a given, right? Improve the quality and accessibility of information for anybody who is doing business with any of the offices, and even for those that are within the county, which there in itself is going to improve our effectiveness and our productivity. So, and then just part of that is we're going to know what we have where, and that's also a part of, you know, the IT changes that we're making. This is kind of a basic timeline, and you can see what's been done and what we still have yet to do, and it kind of gives a best guess of when we will start and essentially maybe finish. You can see the Eagle side is really close. You know, we expect to be live in April and really doing some power training in May. Complete cutover by the end of FY18. The Encode financial side, we are just now finishing a lot of planning, a lot of the questionnaires, which takes an incredible amount of time, especially from the financial and the general ledger side, of knowing the business processes and all the accounts and stuff like that. So they've been working extremely diligently on getting that information out to the Tyler folks, who will then take that information and, you know, map it out. And you can see that that's going to happen over the next couple months. Again, with our estimated go live probably in the fall of 2018. How are we doing on budget? We're doing really good. You can see the Encode. Tyler Eagle, although we are further ahead, we haven't paid as much. Now that we're kind of finishing, we'll see a definite increase in that, where probably by the next time I present this, we may even be paid. Everything has gone according to budget. We've not, you know, if anything, we might go a little bit under, but we are certainly tracking spot on. In code, we're 85% paid for the license fees, services. Sorry about that. I mixed up those two. Tyler Eagle services have been paid 25%, and the Encode, we've paid less than 10%, which just makes sense. We've done more work on the services side in the Tyler Eagle, so it's pardon me on that one. The Tyler Eagle side, full payment will be expected to occur in this fiscal year. Full payment will be expected to occur in FY19, although we already have, obviously, a good chunk of it paid in this year. And then just looking ahead for the rest of this year and then even FY19, milestones were fully functional and full implementation and the ENCODE. Finish up this year, the business process mapping, chart of accounts, all the design and the interfacing with our other systems within the county, and of course the fun part of it, which is data conversion. This is where we'll find issues with our information that we will have to fix. I've already had my phone, the recorder's records, and we have addressed that, but it's not impossible, just work. And then of course, if you need any more information, signed contracts and agreements, we already had those, that's what we approved. Project charter should have been in your packet today. And of course, come on in and talk to any one of us. We will either talk you till you're asleep or you're interested, one or the others. So feel free to ask any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Jen. Thank you, James.
Yep.
All right, now we'll move along to item number 9. This will be discussion only. We'll take no action. This will be the review of the second quarter 2018 unaudited budget. To Ashley. Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Great presentation, Jeff, James. I will tell you this on behalf of that team is between our clerk treasurer, our clerk recorder, our clerk treasurer and our recorder, our IT manager, Jennifer McCain, I'll guarantee you they are absolutely focused on this. There are meetings every week on this to update what's happening and where we're going, and I'm very, very impressed with the whole situation and the progress. You have in front of you a spreadsheet that details or exemplifies the status of our second quarter review from our budget that we submitted to the Department of Taxation to our actual. You will see there that our revenues are trending at about 63%. So now anything over 50% in this area tells you a couple of things. In the revenue side, it's pretty much real property is at 77%, which means that a lot of people paid their bills in July or August and did not want to do the payment plan. So we will see probably lesser in this next quarter for those people paying their personal and real property taxes. Franchise fees have gone up considerably. They're at about 119% right now. That's pretty much a lot of the stuff that is done in the industrial park. The one thing that that we're going to take a look at is billing permits, and they're only about 13%. However, we know that the annual renewal for business permits or business licenses is in May. And building permits are at 13%, which we're going to take a look and see where all of that stuff is. But that is our revenue side. On the expenditure side, we're at 45%. All total through the general fund, which I think, again, our department heads are very good at trying to, you know, appropriate only those things that they really need. Now, we'll, the test will be what happens from now until May of this year, which we will take a particularly close look at. Somewhere along the line, it got a little out of whack last year, but we're going to, I think, the third quarter, which will, I'm going to try and get done for at least the first or second meeting in April, I think will give us a very clear period, very clear picture of what we're doing. In our departmentals, for those that are a little over 50%, I will comment on some of those. One is community development, which is 62%. We are waiting for an augmentation on this. As you know, the Tesla payments for building permits and plan review fees are now going to be, for fire, are now part of community development. So we're making some augmentations for that, and that will correct itself for the third quarter. Otherwise, and you will see in your documents an A, a red A, that means that could be a possible augmentation. I want to do that this time so that I think right at the third quarter, I think we'll do an initial state of augmentations for your approval. District Court, Public Defender, stuff, their expenditures were about $37,000, and they're at the budget of 70%. I have to apologize for this. This was my error. When we looked at the budget last year, I kind of whacked the clerk treasurer's budget for an amount that she had already put in there, and she knew exactly what that was. So that was my error, and my apologies to the clerk treasurer. Justice Court was a little above. They had tuition expenses of about $3,000. On our next page is IT service. That was at 58%. There were some supplies for the TRI USA Parkway. There were some rents involved in their budget that we didn't anticipate. And also, there's a DevNet structure of about some hardware of $61,000 and for Tyler of $18,000. Those two are probably going to be augmented items. To include in that is the software and service agreements for those, which DevNet may come as high as $300,000. Tyler, about the ENCODE, which is the financial package, about $250,000, and the Tyler Eagle of about $100,000. For a total of about $650,000. That may be our hardware and software cost that we're probably going to have to augment. Other than that, everybody else looks in very good shape as far as the general budget is concerned. Roads, I just wanted to mention on the road side that they still have $323,000 left in road improvements accounts, which they will take care of, weather permitting, through June, and about $300,000 left in equipment acquisition, which they have a list of those things that they want to purchase, which we'll probably go ahead and approve. The other side is the water system. Their budget is about $111,000 over, and that was actually due to us paying off an early retirement bond, a 1997 bond, which in the long run is probably going to save us about $250,000 in interest. So we felt that was an appropriate thing to do, and it was a higher interest rate, and so we went and retired that. The Virginia City Sewer is up about 60% because of system upgrades to the sewer system and a new sewer line approximately of $132,000, which again will be a augmented item. On page 3, there really isn't anything that's too far out of whack. The Justice Court Fund is at about 110%, so they're over. We're probably going to have to augment out of that fund that special revenue fund, about $8,000 or $9,000 for computer equipment and furnitures and fixtures. I don't anticipate the move or the building of their new premises to go until FY19, for sure. And then the V&T Tourism Commission, they were over at 64%. However, and I wish Karen Whitmancy was here, but she's not. We bought Piper's Opera House for about $303,000, understanding that Denny Dawson was going to be the curator of that or the department head on that, and we did not have an approved interlocal agreement for Piper's. I went and put that in his account, but Karen came out in the paper last week and said it was all my fault, which I was rather upset with, to say the least. So, if I find Karen, I'm going to ask her how that happened. And the other side is the 474 Fire District. We're probably going to augment a truck, a new service truck, that was not previously budgeted for about $42,000. And again, there will be some budget augmentations with regard to the fire district because of the change in the way we handle fire permits between the 474 Fire District and community development.
And so when we work on this next year's budget, there'll be adjustments that'll be made. Make sure that those permit fees go into the right account.
Right. They're going into the right account now, Mr. Chairman. It's just that the budget amounts, we didn't know at June 30th that this was going to happen. And so those, and actually there are payments, those are payments from Tesla based upon the agreement. And that agreement is, that has to be renegotiated by April of this year as the start.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Gallagher?
Great.
Thank you, Mr. Gallagher.
Welcome.
Next item up is number 10. Discussion of possible action, review, and possible approval of the Story County property tax rate for 2018-2019. Once again, Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We are required by today to furnish Department of Taxation with a letter stating whether or not what our tax rate is going to be, and this is a this is certainly a discussion that we've been going over since probably 2015. We have tried to look at property rate reductions, and understanding that if we had a reduction, the reduction portion or the taxpayer rebate program would involve the industrial park getting about 65% or 65 cents on the dollar, centrally assessed, which is into the energy and all those other people, about 22 cents on the dollar, and of course our residents would get about 13 cents on the dollar. Still trying to figure out some way that we can do that. Our rate is 3.4607%. There's a item in your packet that says of what our rate is. Of course, the state rate is about 17% of that. So we have gone through a very, I thought, a very exhaustive process of what can we do for the residents of Story County. And Pat Witten reached out to a friend of his in Alaska to see if we could do something with one of those pipeline things. And everywhere we go, it seems that we are getting hit with two big principal deals. One is the state of Nevada, the NRS, pretty much in some regards prohibits some of those things at this point in time. The other thing is through the Department of Taxation, anyway, and it's just everywhere we turn, we seem to get a little fallback to include the equalization department, State Board of Equalization. Everything has to be equal. We understand that. So at this point in time, with the DA's office, myself, our outside consultant, Tom Gransbury, we continue to look at avenues where we can at least give some relief to some of those people, understanding now that we have abated, last year we abated about $45 million in property taxes for the tax-free zone and all of the abatements out in the industrial park. So it's not that we're trying to find a way to get this. Unfortunately, right at this point in time, there's not a good avenue that we can go to the Department of Taxation and they can approve, or the State Board of Equalization that they could approve, by which we can, give some relief to our taxpayers. We're not giving up on this. It's just we can't find an avenue that would really give us any relief in those areas at this time. So with that, I am requesting that the board at this particular time approve the Story County tax rate of 3.4607 for the fiscal year ended 2018-2019.
Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. Commissioner comments?
So this has been, we've been looking high and low for a way to help the local taxpayers and residents to speak up. The Board of Equalization, of course, says you have to do it for everybody across the board. That means the real benefactors would be the Teslas and Walmarts and Switches, the big companies. As far as if we were to lower the tax rate, they would see the big numbers, where we might see a local resident, like for my property, maybe $12 or $18 a year. So that's almost a joke. So we are looking at a couple other avenues, but we're kind of in the infancy, so I don't really want to discuss them right now. But, we're not giving up on this. We're going to find something. And I do appreciate Mr. Gallagher's efforts in this as well.
Lance?
Disappointed. I'm not going to give this thing up. As Jack said, there are some potential afoot that we're looking at, but we're going to have to come up with something more creative than we've had so far.
Right. And we're all in favor of that. As Mr. Gallagher pointed out, there's $55 million in abated out there right now. As these abatements expire and these monies are coming in, we have a lot more to deal with. But I want to point out that on your tax bill, there's nine line items on there. There's nine. And the county only controls four of those. The general, capital acquisition, the fire, and youth. And youth, that can't even count that because it's so minuscule. But, there's a lot of the stuff we don't have any control over. We don't have any control over the school or the school debt. We don't have any control over what the state rate is. We don't have any control over indigent medical or indigent accident. So when you add up all the stuff that we have control over, we have control over very little of the tax rate, really. So I guess we can open up for any public comment. Anybody wants to comment on this item? Hearing none, I think I'll go ahead and ask for a motion to go ahead and approve the tax rate as recommended by the comptroller.
I'll make a motion to approve the Story County property tax rate of 3.4607% for the fiscal year of 2018 and 2019.
Second your motion.
And moving to second to approve the property tax rate as is. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Gallagher.
Sure.
Next up is item number 11. This is a discussion of possible action. Approval of interlocal agreement between Nevada Department of Public Safety, State Fire Marshal Division, and Story County. And as the fire marshal has indicated, he'd like to go ahead and continue this item to the next meeting. Is that right? Which will be March the 20th. So we won't have a first meeting in March because it's been canceled due to the NACO. Does anybody have any comments regarding continuing this item to the next regularly scheduled meeting on March the 20th? Hearing none, if I go ahead and get a motion to approve this continuation of this.
I'll make a motion to continue the interlocal agreement between Nevada Department of Public Safety, State Fire Marshal, and the State Fire Marshal Division to the March 20th, 2018 meeting here in this courtroom. At 10 a.m.
Very good.
Second your motion.
We move in a second to continue this item to March the 20th. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right. Item number 12 is the recess. This is the Story County Board of County Commissioners. The convenes the Story County Fire Protection District. And next up on our item is 13, discussion on possible action. This is the Story County Fire Protection District contract agreement between Chartwell Staffing Solutions to provide temporary staff for fuels reduction. Chief Nevin.
Good morning, Commissioners. For the record, Jeff Nevin. I mentioned this last month, I believe, the grant that we received to do the fuels reduction in the Highlands and along Geiger Grade. Wanted to get going with that. The staffing company that we had that employed the employees to do the work basically voided their contract with us, so we had to scramble, find a new company to come do this. So this is a result of some hard work by Chief Atkins going out and on the ground getting some people to come in and do this. So this agreement is actually cost savings for what we were paying per employee, so it should benefit us in the long run. Again, this is will allow us to do the go forward with the grant that we received from the Division of Forestry. If anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Yes, you're confident that Chartwell will be able to go ahead and take care of you? Right. Commissioners, have any questions for the Chief? Any public comment regarding this item?
I'm Joe Prohaska. I'm the Business Development Manager for
Chartwell. You want to come up to the podium? And then you can start it all over again with identifying yourself. But otherwise, the staff can't transcribe this meeting without it.
Hi there, I'm Joseph Prohaska. I'm the Business Development Manager for Chartwell Staffing in Reno. And I was just here to answer any questions if they came up, and we're looking forward to working with the county.
So you're the one we can hold accountable. Very good.
Yes, sir. And if we do good, I'll be held accountable. If not, I'll bring my branch manager.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
Thanks, Joe. Coming up?
Thanks.
Okay. Any other public comment? All right. Chief's recommendation, staff's recommendation, we approve this. Very good. I'm going to get a motion to approve.
Okay, I'll make a motion to approve the agreement between the Story County Fire Protection District and the Chartwell Staffing Solutions and allow the fire chief to sign the agreement.
I'll second your motion.
Moved and second to approve this contract with Chartwell Staffing. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. At this time, we're going to adjourn as the Fire Protection District Board and reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners. Next up is item 15, discussion of possible action, approval of contract with Morpho Track for maintenance and service agreement for the period of 8/17 to 8/18 for fingerprinting at the Lockwood substation in the amount of $2,181. And who's handling this today, Mr. Dobson? Mr. Loomis?
Keith Loomis, record. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is it's a basic contract to provide services to keep the fingerprinting system in operation down at the Lockwood substation. It's good for a year. It's going to cost about $2,181.
So this is a service contract? Is this,
yes.
This is?
Yes.
Okay. Do we own the equipment or do we lease the equipment? Or?
Mr. Commissioner, we own the piece of equipment. It's just a yearly maintenance for software, and if it breaks down, it's a lot cheaper with the contract.
All right. So it's the same as having Xerox come in and go ahead and maintain our copiers. So. Okay.
right. Very straightforward here. Any public comment regarding this contract? More folks? Hearing none, we go to a motion to approve.
I motion to approve the maintenance and service agreement for the MorphaTrack system and authorize the chairman to sign.
Second.
Moved and second to approve the contract with MorphaTrack. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Next up is item number 16, discussion of possible action in a local agreement providing the terms and conditions for the use of Piper's Opera House by the Story County School District and the display of historic personal property within Piper's belonging to the school district. Mr. Loomis.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Keith Loomis. In the contract that we entered into with the school district in regards to the purchase of the Piper's Opera House, there was provision in that contract that said that we would enter into subsequently enter into an interlocal agreement providing for the use of the Piper's Opera House by the school district. And so that's what this contract is for. It provides that the school district can use the Piper's Opera House for up to 30 times a year. There won't be any charge for that. It'll be used for things like assemblies, presentations, plays, musical events, and things of that nature. As part of the agreement, the school district is going to leave the historic personal property in Piper's for the county to display. We did not purchase the personal property at the time we purchased the Piper's Opera House itself, but this is the follow-up agreement providing for the use of the Piper's Opera House by the school district.
Is this personal property stuff that they added to the collection there, because there was a lot of personal property that was in the building when the school district purchased the building?
I don't know for certain. My guess is it's probably not things that they added. It's probably that's original personal property that was already there.
Okay. All right. And you wrote the interlocal agreement, correct?
I did.
Yeah. Okay. I read it. Okay. Any questions for Keith? Any public comment regarding the interlocal? Ms. Bart?
Nicole Bart, Story County resident. Marshall, to follow up on your question, I didn't hear of it, not from you, but from Mr. Loomis. You and I both know there was a lot of private property already in there when it went over to the school district. So is there a way to clarify what they mean and for them to itemize what is different than what they received? Because we know that lots of things have disappeared and walked away from Piper's over the years, and I would hate to have this be another incidence where some stuff disappears.
I would assume that the personal property is stuff that can be moved, right? Anything that's permanently attached to the building wouldn't be personal property. But it's a good idea, and I think we should follow up on this to find out exactly. I don't know if they mean like the freestanding potbelly stoves or anything like that, if they're considering that to be personal property.
That's been there for years. That was there when you and I were on the board. So I'm just right. Expressing a concern that.
Yeah.
I know what was in there just by looking. You know better than I do.
Yeah.
Hopefully, and I doubt that an inventory was done when it was given to the school district, but I would hate for us to sign this and sign away those things that have been in that building for decades and lose them, because a lot has already been lost. That's all I'm asking.
Well, I would agree with that. I mean, did the school district assume that that's their property now that they took over, or?
Well, it was
already there.
It was their property when they bought the building,
yeah.
Because it included all the contents.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't have any problem with continuing this to the next meeting.
Maybe
we could ask the school district to give us
an itemized list.
Yeah, tell us what they think is theirs that wasn't already there when they took the property.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Wallace, sir.
Well, we could certainly ask the school district to give us an inventory of what they consider the personal property that belongs to them. Really, I think this is an issue that, if we were concerned about it, should have been addressed at the time we approved the purchase of the property itself, because we specifically, in that contract, left out the personal property. Originally, there was some thought that we would pay extra for the personal property to address some tax issues, but that didn't happen.
We just want to know what the property is. What if something could come up missing, and we don't know if it's theirs or not.
Yeah.
Then we're liable for it.
The interlocal requires that the school district insure their personal property, and we will insure the real property. Okay. But I mean, there's nothing to be lost by asking the school district to itemize what personal property you have.
Hard to get that if we don't know what items they're asking that are their personal property. I see Mr. Gallagher making his way up here, so he must have a comment.
I really think it's time we figure out what's in there, regardless of whose property it is. I think we need to take an inventory of what that is, and I would encourage that. If it's going to be Denny's people, we do it the kind of the new way. You take a picture of the piece and try and figure out what it is. At least we know what's in there by the photographs that will be taken from there. We can then decide. I can't imagine what kind of personal property the school district would have, but we can certainly float that with them. We can and then figure out a market value for all of those antiques that are there. At least find out what is there and get a good inventory. If the school district doesn't have one, we certainly need one now that it's part of our.
Because I believe if it's still the policy, all county furnishings and that stuff has an inventory tag on them with a written description.
We don't have a tag.
You don't tag them any longer?
No, we don't tag them. Okay. What we're going through now is we're going to take a picture of those things.
Okay.
And then have that in a fixed asset or property book, so to speak.
Because there was a recent question to me about a piece of equipment that was in there that seemed to disappear. And then, of course, that was private property that was on loan there and then taken.
Oh, in the Pipers?
Yeah.
Oh.
So it'd be nice to know who owns what in there.
Okay.
Oh, no, we have a school board member in house today, too. Does he have anything to weigh in on this?
For the record, Jeff Nevin, school board president. There were some donated items that were put in there after the school district took over. What those items are off the top of my head, I don't know. I'm sure there was a list created, but I think it would behoove the school district and the county to go through that and just make sure. So if you want to continue that, I wouldn't see any problem with that.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. Any other public comment regarding this item? Okay, upon the recommendation, I think we should continue this item to the March 20th meeting.
I agree.
And so if we can go ahead and get a motion to that effect.
I'll move to continue this item concerning the interlocal agreement with Story County School District. We'll continue this to the March 20th, 2018, 10 a.m. in this courtroom.
Second.
It's been moved in second to continue this item to March the 20th. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Great. Moving along now to item number 17. This is discussion of possible action, adoption of resolution 18-482, setting forth the procedure by which a business may object to the adoption of a rule by Story County which impacts the business. Mr. Loomis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Keith Loomis. Under Chapter 237 of the Nevada Revised Statutes, the county is required to conduct a business impact study on any rule that it adopts that may have an impact on business, and most recently we've done that with the transient lodging tax. As part of that, the requirements under that statute, the county is required to approve a process by which a business can object to the adoption of a rule. By the statutes, the Department of Taxation, local government division, is required to come up with the regulations and the forms for possible approval, and that's what is in the packet today, is the form for objecting to the adoption of a rule that impacts a business. And once that's adopted, it's supposed to be retained in the clerk's office for availability by any business that wants to object to the adoption of a rule.
So,
I'm familiar with this. I talked to Mr. Wimmis about this at length prior to the meeting. So it's a regulatory issue that's passed on by the legislature, so it's not a decision for us to make whether we want to do it or not. Any public comment regarding this item? If there's no objections, I guess we could ask Mr. Loomis to read the resolution. Go ahead.
Resolution number 18-482. It's a resolution providing for the adoption of a procedure for objecting to the enactment of rules which require a business impact statement. Whereas NRS 237.100 subsection 4 requires that each governing body of a local government provide a procedure for an aggrieved business to object to a rule adopted by the governing body, and whereas NRS 237.100 subsection 4 further provides that once the procedure is adopted, it must be filed with the clerk of the local government and be available upon request at no charge, and whereas the Nevada Tax Commission, upon request of the Committee on Local Government Finance, is required to advise officers of local government regarding procedures and forms that are required for compliance with the provisions of NRS 237.030 to 237.150 inclusive, and whereas the Nevada Tax Commission has promulgated a form of a procedure by which an aggrieved business may object to a rule adopted by a local government, and whereas Exhibit A attached hereto sets forth a procedure by which a business may object to a rule adopted by the Board of County Commissioners of Story County, based upon the form of the procedure promulgated by the Nevada Tax Commission. Now, therefore, is it hereby resolved as follows. The Board of County Commissioners of Story County does hereby adopt as the procedure by which a business may object to a rule adopted by the Board the procedure set forth in the attached Exhibit A. It is further resolved that the attached Exhibit A be filed with the clerk of Story County and be made available upon request without charge.
Thank you, Mr. Loomis. Once again, I'll open it up to any public comment on this item. Hearing none, I'll go ahead and ask for a motion to approve this resolution.
I'll move to approve the adoption of Resolution 18-482 and authorize the chairman to sign.
Second your motion.
Moved and second to approve Resolution 18-482. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right, we already heard item 18, so we're going to move ahead to item number 19, discussion and possible action. These are the approval of the business license to second reading. Mr. Russell.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll just read them off. These are the second readings recommended for approval by Community Development, California Drilling and Blasting, Sierra Shading Solutions, Infinity Automation, Copper Environmental Consulting, Train U.S., Vital Systems Corporation, Little Pizza or Little City Pizzeria, T.E. Larson, Team Industries Services or Team Industrial Services, Industria Montage, Manart, LAP USA, Cartwell Staffing Solutions, Savage Welding Supply, Plasmo USA, Six Clear Limited Liability Company, High Caliber Glass, The Sherwin-Williams Company, HD Supply Construction Supply, Expediters by Lindau Incorporated, Tenant Sales and Services, Orkin, The Ryan Company, Proaxia Consulting, CTOU Incorporated, Tacos El Gordo, Sushi Pier LLC doing business as Food Evolution, and Electric Blue Elephant.
All right, very good. Is there any public comment regarding the second readings of these business licenses? I'd like to note that there's an awful lot of local businesses that in the Reno area that are being licensed.
Yeah.
And so we know that most of that business is being done in the industrial part. All right. With that said, if I can get a motion to approve the second reading of the business licenses.
I'll make a motion to approve items A through AA.
I'll second the motion.
Okay. We have a motion to approve second reading business licenses of all items A through AA. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Next up is item number 20, public comment. Come on up. Just for a reminder, when you come to the podium, identify yourself for the record so the clerk gets you down on the table.
Yes. I'm Louise Pena from the River District, Rainbow Bend, Lockwood. And I would like to announce that I have taken on the new endeavor of being the field representative for the RSVP program, which means our van is going to start moving. I am requested your support on this project, that I know I have a lot cut out for me to go, but I am determined. I think it is something. We used to see it move 2-3 times a week. I'm not sure it moves at all, except that the last time we wanted to use it, nobody could find the keys. So I'm in the process. I have taken my first training for this position. Me and my husband both are going to be taking the training for the DOT certificate so that we can use the wheelchair lift. Originally, we were told as residents that couldn't do it, insurance wouldn't allow it, the RSVP program wouldn't allow it. The catch was the training. I worked for 16 years for what was then City Fair. My husband is still working for a ride as a transit and has deals with wheelchairs constantly, but he still has to take the training because RSVP needs the certificate. I have lots in the future. I'd like to see that van come up here to Virginia City full of our seniors so that they can enjoy some of the activities that go on here. With that, once we get the van and the volunteers that need to drive this van, I am hoping to expand the program that also covers respite care. It covers companionship care in our community, as well as a possible housekeeping. So it's a big project. I am excited about it. I'm a little bit over the top, to be honest with you, because I believe our community in Lockwood has needed it for a long time. So thank you. I wanted to start off with announcing it to our county that it's a go.
Very cool.
It's a go. I do need some information because it's to my understanding, and they're going to look for it at RSVP. It's to my understanding that the county has actually paid for the van, and my concern was who maintains the van. They didn't know. They thought the county did. My fear is nobody is. to my understanding, there's not been any problems with the van other than just drivers not being able to drive it. So I'm looking for guidance there, but other than that, yes, we're going. With that, I don't know whether you all know that our longtime resident, Jim Cottrell, had passed away. And he was on the GID for years on end. And it's kind of sad. It's really rough. Alicia runs the senior lunch program, and she is hanging in there, hard as it is. So thank you.
Great. Well, thank you, Louise, for being here today.
Yeah. Thanks for stepping up, Louise.
I guess you can bring this information to Pat, too, about this. The team leader's out today. Okay. Any other public comment? Hearing none? Okay, we're going to adjourn. Thank you. See you on March the 20th.